Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to words from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Inasmuch as God is making an appeal through us, we urge you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "At a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Look, now is the favorable time. See, now is the day of salvation." This is the word of our God, and let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In our Lenten series this year, the crucial hours, we'll be examining particular moments in Jesus' passion history. Key words or actions that demonstrate the fullness of Christ's saving work for us. But tonight, before we look at the Passion of Christ, on this Ash Wednesday, we're going to take a look at another crucial moment, a crucial hour, not in the life of Christ or in his passion, but a crucial hour in your life, a key moment for you. Ash Wednesday is a day that marks the beginning of the season of Lent, a season of repentance. So the texts of this day present a clear reminder of that need to repent of our sins. And when is that time? Where is that opportunity? For me? For you? In this text before us tonight, we see God pleading his case, making his strong appeal to us, repent now. Be reconciled now, because tomorrow may be too late. May God bless us as we heed his call tonight. As God pleads his case, the hour for repentance is now. God pleads that case through his Son, and he pleads that case through his ambassadors. The congregation in Corinth had been guilty of many sins, and God the Holy Spirit chronicled those sins in Paul's first letter to them, the first letter we call 1 Corinthians, identifying one after another the offenses against God that needed to be addressed in the hearts, in the minds, in the lives of those Corinthian Christians. You can review each one of those as you take time to read through 1 Corinthians. Paul addressed those sins there. He called those Corinthians to account for them. He identified those sins, even as he directed them to turn away from them. Well, what was the result? Paul sent Titus with this 1 Corinthians letter in hand from Ephesus over to Corinth, and he delivered that letter and the message. Now Titus was coming back to Paul, who's now in Macedonia, to receive a report. And what kind of report did he bring? It was a wonderful report. They repented. With godly sorrow, they saw the error of their ways, and they turned away from their errors in faith. They turned from sin to salvation. So Paul writes in this second letter to Corinth, "For even if I caused you sorrow with my letter, I do not regret it. No, I rejoice, because this sorrow resulted in repentance. Yes, you were made sorry in a godly way. In fact, godly sorrow produces repentance, which leads to salvation, leaving no regret." What a conclusion to the matter. And what a perfect message for us on this evening, Ash Wednesday as well. God pleads his case in the text before us tonight, saying the hour for repentance is now. Look at God's plea to you today. Ash Wednesday, another beginning of a season of Lent. 40 days of repenting leading to the holiest week in all of human history. The sacrifice of God for the sins of the world. When I was growing up, we had a custom in our congregation. I was very young, but I still remember it. Whenever we would have the confession of sins and absolution, we would be invited to kneel. And some would. We didn't have kneelers, so some would turn around and kneel at their pew. Others might just sit down. Others stood at their pew and bowed their heads, much in the same posture that you saw from Jesus' parable of the tax collector. Wouldn't even look up to heaven. He humbled himself, kneeling. It's not a bad practice. In this text before us tonight, instead of seeing us on our knees, humbling ourselves before God in repentance, what is it that we see in this Word of God? We see God on His knees, humbling Himself, begging, lowering Himself to our level for us to repent. That's what we see from God. This is what we'll see again this season as we examine Christ's passion. God humbles himself to the point of death, even death upon a cross. This is what your Savior has done for you. He dies. To think of it, your God, God the Father, begs for you and makes his appeal to you through his own Son, on his knees in death, making his case to you, repent. Turn from your sins. Turn to the one who has saved you, who has led you to salvation. The Apostle Paul writes in our text, "We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This is God's case. This is God's strong appeal to you, his pleading to you. Repent. Why? Because I gave my Son for your sins. What a reversal this is. This one who did not know sin. Remember that command that God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? What was the name of that tree that he gave to them? The knowledge of good and evil. Satan was right in one way in his temptation. When you eat that fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Before this time, Adam and Eve did not know evil. They were innocent. They would soon know what evil was. And they ate the fruit that God forbid them to eat. And then that knowledge, that intimate knowledge with sin, became known to them. And they felt fear. And they felt shame. And they felt guilt. And we saw blame. Every form of sinfulness. They became very knowledgeable about evil. Because they became evil. This one did not know sin. He never experienced shame. He never experienced guilt or fear because of sin. Because he never sinned. He did not know sin. He did not have an experiential knowledge of it. He was perfect. This one. God made this one who knew no sin to become sin. You can equate the two. Sin is this one. This one is sin. The one who did not know sin now is sin for us. And then look at us, the ones who knew sin all too well, the ones who have this intimate relationship, this strong connection with sin, because we are sin. We are filled with sin. We are sinful. And look at us. What was the result of that one becoming sin for us? He became sin so that we might, with the result that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a change. What an appeal from God. He makes his case to us through Jesus Christ. The hour of repentance is now. What is your relationship with sin? Do you love sin? Is it a close companion for you? Do you cherish it in your heart? God makes his plea to you through Jesus Christ tonight. He's begging you, repent. Turn from your sin. My son became sin so that you could become his righteousness. This is the strong appeal, the urging, the begging and pleading that God does for us. Be reconciled to God. My dear son, my dear daughter, in whom there is no sin, in whom there is perfect righteousness, turn, repent. Do not harbor any longer in your heart enmity toward God. Turn, repent. Make that relationship right. Not only does that pleading, that strong appeal from God, come through Jesus Christ, it also comes through his ambassadors, through his gospel ministers. Paul writes, as fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. In the previous verse, God just pleaded his case through Christ, who became sin for them. Now Paul says, we also urge you, that is, we, the ambassadors of God, those sent by God, fellow workers, ministers of that gospel. Paul spent much of his letter here, 2 Corinthians, defending his ministry to those Corinthians. So the we in these verses, as in so much of this entire letter, is not the we of all believers. It's rather we, the ministers of the gospel. That is, the Apostle Paul, along with Titus, who carried that first letter to them, and Silas and Timothy, who were missionaries among them. This is the we of Paul's words, those ambassadors whom God sent to make this plea to them, to make his case. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Inasmuch as God is making an appeal through us, we urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The Apostle Paul also wrote to Timothy, urging him to be faithful in this difficult work of being an ambassador for Christ. This challenging work of calling sinners to repentance by a demonstration of God's law and then healing with that blessed forgiveness of the gospel. That healing begins with repentance. As Paul writes, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, whether it is convenient or not. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with all patience and teaching. This is what pastors and teachers are called to do among you as well. And we heard a sermon on this text just a month ago, on January 30th, that fourth Sunday after Epiphany, to hear the appeal from the preacher. Listen to God's appeal through his called servants, to correct and to rebuke. That's where it begins. Calling to account for sins. Repent. And then to encourage, to lead them to that salvation, to the forgiveness that Christ has won for them. But when's the right time to start repenting? What if you're just say to yourself, what about tomorrow? There will be more time tomorrow. Paul answers that question for us too, as he quotes a passage from the prophet Isaiah. He says, "At a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you." Then Paul says, "Look, now is the favorable time. See, now is the day of salvation." When is that time to repent? The time is now. You have a guarantee now. Pinch yourself and see, do you still have flesh and blood? Now is the time of your grace. Take a deep breath and inhale, and then exhale. You still have life and breath in you? Then now, while you have that life and breath, while you have that flesh and blood, that is your time of grace. Because you have no guarantee of tomorrow. So repent. Turn now, today. Jesus once told a story of a man who thought that he had all the time in the world to enjoy all the good things that he had stored up in his entire life. This parable that Jesus told about this rich man was just a few short chapters before that gospel that we heard in our lesson for today, the gospel from today. How many times did Jesus give those Pharisees to repent? Look, now is the favorable time. See, now is the day of salvation. But as Jesus told this parable, the man, he had it made. He had everything that he needed. He was living large. He could kick his feet up, take life easy now. He didn't have to work. He could just party, enjoy life, because he had everything that he needed, so he thought. "And I will tell my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But where was his soul? It wasn't with God. God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul will be demanded from you. Now who will get what you have prepared?" Fool, your soul was not with God. He thought he had all the time in the world to go and enjoy everything that he had stored up. His body was rich, his life was rich, but his soul was empty, because he did not have God. And God was going to give him no more time. No favorable time anymore. No day of salvation anymore. That had been wasted, lost. So what about tomorrow? Won't there be time tomorrow? Soul, we can relax tonight. We can fix it tomorrow. Friend, you have no guarantee of tomorrow, but you do have a guarantee today. Look, now is the favorable time. See, now is the day of salvation. So God continues to plead his case to you through his ambassadors. Be reconciled to God. The hour for repentance is now. This is our God on his knees, pleading for you, begging that hour of repentance. He made his appeal through his Son as he humbled himself to the point of death on a cross so that you could become his righteousness. He continues to make this appeal through his ambassadors, through ministers of the gospel, who point you to God's favor, who direct you to the day of his salvation. They plead with you, repent. Believe the forgiveness is for you. Forgiveness proclaimed in his word tonight. The forgiveness received at the altar tonight. The forgiveness which comes to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen.